Blog Talk Radio.
After some very extended time off, the Last Word podcast is back. I am Tyler Hayward. With me, Chris Stanton. Now, we've made a couple of changes for this podcast as we decided to reboot this. The first thing is we're not just going to be covering Michigan football, Michigan State athletics, and that sort of thing. We will expand our territory, and we will cover what is happening in the entire sports world. And right now, I think there's no bigger thing going on in the sports world than the NBA Finals, Golden State taking a 3-1 lead. And since we've not really had an opportunity to talk about this, with this being the reemergence of the show, Chris, let's get your general thoughts on what you've seen transpire throughout the series so far.
Well, it's good not to be talking about Michigan State football. And this finals has been interesting because it comes down to something Rui Tomjanovich said a long time ago: never underestimate the heart of a champion. And while Golden State looked like they were going to just skate through the playoffs, they're going to go 16-0, Cleveland wasn't going to have any of it. And it was really surprising given how Game 3 ended. You know, did Golden State, with that comeback, break their spirit? No, Cleveland was not going to allow that to happen in their place, and what we saw was what we saw the other night. So this is setting up for a good last couple games, and I say that because I think Cleveland could take another one.
Even at Oracle, where the series is going to return, they went away from 2-3-2. They're back to the 2-2-1 format in the NBA Finals. Oracle, it's been a little bit of a tough place to play in. I mean, I think you have to look no further than the score differential in the finals thus far to see it. Golden State, they're a different animal at home.
They are, but Cleveland has won on that floor before. They won a championship last year in that very building, so it's going to come down to consistency. Can Kyrie Irving reproduce what he did in the last game? Can Kyle Korver make some shots? Can Kevin Love consistently knock him down? J.R. Smith as well. So if Cleveland can get that consistency from those other role players and their other stars, LeBron doesn't have to put all of this on his shoulders, but he has to lead the way, and Golden State has to have an answer for all of those things.
Yeah, and I think when you look at it, I mean, you said that they've done it before, and I think the turnaround point last season was Game 5. Two major differences, though, this time around. So far that we know of, A, Draymond Green's not suspended. B, Kevin Durant is in a Golden State uniform. And
yes.
So I think that there's been – so I think that that is one thing that does kind of obviously sway in Golden State's favor when this time going into what could be a complete momentum turning game, because you can say whatever you want. You win the first three games of the series, you're sitting pretty. You can afford one. You can give one up. You can afford to lose one. And what I mean by afford to lose it is Golden State can make another $22 million for playing in the Game 5. And so I think that that's one of the things where, hey, you know what, they can't afford to lose it, but this could change the entire tide of the series. And, I mean, look, LeBron, you know, we're not even going to talk about that GOAT stuff, the greatest of all time, whatever. I mean, in my opinion, still hands down Michael Jordan. LeBron's
absolutely
not even in the top two or three of that conversation right now. Obviously, a win here could propel him to number two for now. A couple more, and I'm definitely more than happy to maybe hand over that title to him from MJ. But it's one of those situations where if you look at what a Game 5, I mean, Game 5 is always the game in any series, you know, that lasts more than four, which Golden State doesn't really know anything about. Do you think that might play into it a little bit, is the fact that, hey, this is new for Golden State. They haven't lost since, what was it, middle of, I don't even know, April?
Absolutely. And the thing that plays into it for Golden State is the same thing that plays in for Cleveland. It's consistency. Golden State has actually had some guys step up. McGee off the bench has been tremendous. It's not all Kevin Durant. Steph Curry has been struggling a little bit with his shot, but look what he's doing. He had double-digit rebounds. Other guys are stepping up, filling gaps, playing roles. Golden State's going to have to rebound a little bit better. They're not the best rebounding team we've ever seen, but they need to be able to plug and play, and if they can do that, they'll take care of Game 5.
Yeah, and I think rebounding was obvious. I mean, rebounding is the key to any game. I mean, any basketball purist will say it. You gotta get the rebounds. Golden State has dominated on the boards throughout the first couple of games. Even Kevin Love, who I've made it a laugh, like, if he boxed out, if he tried on the glass, on the defensive glass, how many rebounds would he have? Throughout the entire playoffs, you've been able to do that. He's not the greatest at boxing out. He's 7 foot. He relies on his wingspan. He relies on his athleticism to go and get the boards. But in game four, I think you saw him start to lose it a little bit.
Sure.
I mean, you can say what you want. He still scored a buttload of points. But I think you saw that he started to struggle a little bit with the rebounding. The reason why the Warriors moved on from Bogut, money, obviously, they saw what Tristan Thompson did to him last year. And so they went out and they got Zaza Pachulia, which I'm sure we'll talk about more in depth in a second. But they went out and they got Zaza Pachulia, who, despite all of his inefficiencies when it comes to playing, coming off the pick and roll, being able to work a two-on-one game with Draymond Green or David West or whoever else is out there on the floor playing that four spot, he's stopping and he's picking up. Despite all those inefficiencies, he was putting a body on Tristan Thompson. He was at least fighting with him a little bit, and you saw him kind of throw in the towel. And I guess we'll go ahead and we'll talk about Pachulia right now. Is it time to give him those go McAdoo minutes that we see just a little bit of him as like a stopgap between switching JaVale McGee and David West around?
Well, like everybody else, I'm pretty confused at what happened with the officiating in the last game. And I kind of wondered if the NBA would review the tape and suspend him. I know that's kind of a hard thing to do, but given what we've seen last year and this year too, it wouldn't be out of the question. So I was partially thinking that we wouldn't see Pachulia in the next game. Like everyone else, I would like to see more from McGee off the bench. I think he can handle those minutes. Why he doesn't get those, I'm not so sure. But the Warriors, they can go 13 deep if you count Matt Barnes. McCaw's had a few nice minutes. Ian Clark has come up with some timely baskets. So, Pachulia, if he can play that role, be that physical force inside, then he has a place on the floor. When he's a turnover machine, he's a 7-footer who can't make a layup, it's time to sit him down.
Well, I spoke with someone the other night, and we kind of talked about Pachulia, and we were counting. Like, he gave up 10 straight points in the early going. Now, you want to go back and you want to look at that game. There were a couple times Golden State got down to 10. I mean, obviously that wasn't the final result. It ended up being a lot uglier than that. But they started bringing it back before, you know, Kyrie took over with a back-breaking shot or J.R. Smith, since he started to show signs of life.
Yeah, Cleveland had an answer every time down floor. It was just raining.
Yeah, and so if I'm not saying McGee would have stopped everything, but 10 straight points were on Pachulia's shoulders. And I know that there were a couple times it didn't look like it because Draymond was trying to recover for Pachulia's mistake. And so you could credit that for Draymond's guy, essentially. But Pachulia's lack of movement, lack of rotation, lack of communication cost Golden State 10 in a row when they were still trying to find the rhythm in the game, which it seems odd that you actually have to say that considering the fact that they still scored 113 points. And so I think it's situations where Steve Kerr needs to take a hard look at himself. Well, if Pachulia got you to 15 and out, I mean, then again, Mike Brown got you to 13 and out. But Pachulia got you to 15 and out, and it's time that you need to make a decision because despite the fact that they've got still a comfortable lead in this series, Pachulia has not contributed anything to it outside of that body. And you can say what you want. JaVale McGee is not exactly as good as boxing out at Pachulia, but he does have a bigger body. He can, if he loses a box out battle without fouling, with his, given the fact he's the second most athletic player on the floor, I would say, behind LeBron James, he can sky over Tristan Thompson and get those rebounds.
On athleticism alone, McGee should be in the game. If it's for Pachulia to spot him some minutes, fine. Foul trouble is another thing. But Pachulia, his consistency is inconsistency. The turnovers and some of the erratic decisions that he's made, I don't know why Kerr is leaving him out there. I really don't.
Yeah, and that's just one of the issues Golden State has. Another one, surprisingly, we talked about this a little bit earlier. This is one of the greatest defensive teams ever assembled. I mean,
sure.
Yeah, we poked fun at Pachulia. Curry's not known as a great defender, though he does get some swipes, and he does come up with timely stops. People don't want to credit him for some of the stops that he had last year on Russell Westbrook, some of the rips he had on Durant last season. And he is on Kyrie occasionally, and though Kyrie may hit a shot with a hand in his face the way he's been playing, make a shot with Curry's hand in his face rather, it doesn't mean Curry's a bad defender by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
Then obviously you have Klay Thompson, who now he's struggled a little bit as far as I'm concerned on defense. Obviously he's starting to find a shot, but he cannot sacrifice. He needs to be the defense. He needs to be the guy to shut down Kyrie Irving. And then obviously you've got Kevin Durant, who's played much better defense than people expected from him. And then you have Draymond Green, who for the last three seasons has been at least one of the top two defenders in the league. Because something tells me Rudy Gobert is not going to surpass him this year. He might as time goes on, because Gobert has really come along. But this is one of the best defensive teams ever assembled. Then you have Livingston, who gives you just a freakishly tall point guard. You have Iguodala, who's one of the best defenders in the league, and LeBron will attest to that. And so how did Cleveland ring up over 130 points, let alone even over 105 points on this Warriors team?
Cleveland did a nice job moving the ball. When Irving was penetrating or LeBron was using bully ball, if you want to call it that, getting to the rack, there was Kevin Love in the corner or Korver. They spread the floor well. They made Golden State chase them a little bit and just extended them. And when they got the wide open looks, they knocked them down. Now, consistency. Can Cleveland go on the road in the next game at Oracle and knock down those same shots? That's the question.
Yeah, and that's one of the questions that I had, because I had the Warriors in sixth initially, but you're not sweeping the best player in the world.
It doesn't matter
what team you have. You're not sweeping the best player in the world. You can have the 97-98 Bulls, still the greatest team ever assembled, in my opinion. You can have them play against LeBron in a 7-game series. You're not sweeping LeBron James. Not to say he'd be the best player in the world at that point, but LeBron James would find a way to get at least one. But I said that there was going to be two games that Cleveland won. One is going to be where they have absolutely no answer for James, which you could argue they haven't done all series, with the exception of maybe the first two games, the second half, but he's still getting triple-double.
Mm-hmm.
In the second half, or even in the first two games when he was playing defense, he was without question the worst defensive player on the floor for either team. And yeah, he's playing Durant, but he made it too easy for Durant. Durant at least needs to work for a shot a little bit, and he was making it too easy for him.
Well, I said that was going to be one game.
The other game that they were going to win, J.R. Smith was going to find a shot, because Golden State, you look at the last two series against the Cavaliers, so Steph Curry is the one guarding him. J.R. Smith only has about one, maybe two semi-notable performances in the NBA Finals. per year. And he had one in, you know, the first year those two teams met. He had one last year, which, if I'm not mistaken, was game 5 or 6. And then he just had his notable performance in the last game. And can he keep it up? I think that J.R. Smith is going to be the key in the next game because, look, between LeBron and Kyrie, you'll get 80. That's just the way the series has gone so far. You'll get at least 70. You'll get 70 to 80 points from those two. Kevin Love can give you 15 if, well, you said it. Cleveland spreads out the floor. Draymond has to help out a little bit more, has to give that extra step. And then Kevin Love can start hitting his shots. And so, got 95 points any given night, no matter what happens, essentially. It's just up to those other guys. It's up to that J.R. Smith more than anybody else because he's going to get the fourth most shots on that team throughout the course of the series. And so he needs to win this series for Cleveland.
When you look at the depth and you compare the two squads, Cleveland, we rattled off 5 or 6 names, but ultimately that's kind of where it ends. Shumpert, you don't exactly know what you're going to get. Deron Williams, it's been well publicized that he's been a disappointment. Richard Jefferson, the old man of the group, he still finds a way to make plays based on his basketball IQ, but their depth is not what Golden State's is. And that could be a factor in game 5 as things start to wear down. LeBron, you know, the other night when he was exposed on defense, do you chalk that up to fatigue? He's played a lot of games. I'm not exactly sure if that's it or not, but certainly Cleveland doesn't have the depth that Golden State does.
No, I mean, I'm not buying the fatigue thing, too, because he's played so many games. I mean, you look at it. We had a week off before the finals, and then you had another 2 days off after the first game, 2 days off after the second game. And so you can't accuse, like, a lack of rest for LeBron. Yeah, he does everything. And, well, he wasn't playing defense game 1 or 2. He looked pretty tired to me still. A lot of his rebounds, battling for those rebounds. I mean, he's going up and he's getting them, but you know, Kevin Love and J.R. Smith would be the only guys underneath the hoop and LeBron going up and he's trying to fight them off for it. And so that's one of those situations where I feel like, hey, he can hold back a little bit on the glass, start using that towards defense. Whether or not he has to shoulder the load, I don't know about that. He does need to be on the floor, and I mean, that's a no-brainer. Because this team just circles the drain without all of that attention on LeBron James. And so,
correct.
I mean, you've got
Kyrie Irving really struggles when LeBron goes to the bench, and anybody would. But you know, can Irving get to the basket? Can he make some of the shots? The two have to work in tandem a little bit. It's not exactly a Jordan Pippen situation, but the two need each other, and I think the two can definitely help each other. And for the longest time, the NBA, with a lot of the great teams, it's been the two stars. And I don't think it's going to be Kevin Love. J.R. Smith is not a star. Irving has to be able to pick up some of the slack. You know, 40 points in the last game, he was wonderful. But, you know, can he do it a second time? Can he keep up the consistency? I don't think he can.
Well, let me ask you a question. How much of that falls on the coaching? Because you notice every time LeBron's out, it becomes the Mike Brown offense on his first go-around with Cleveland when, you know, four guys on one side of the court, and I'm going to give it to – well, in this case, it's going to be Kyrie on the wing. I mean, how much of that falls on the coaching? Because let's face it, Tyronn Lue, even when Cleveland puts up 130 points, he's not the most creative coach in the world. He does have plenty of issues. It's not that hard of a – well, I don't want to say hard of an offense to defend because any offense with LeBron and Kyrie is very difficult to defend. But it's a basic offense. All it is a pick and roll, and they're starting to run it like a Malone and Stockton. Just
and
given
Golden
the
State,
talent
I think, will pick up on that. Golden State will make adjustments to that. One or two things are going to happen. They're going to spread it out or they're going to go high pick and roll. And Golden State's good enough, like we talked about with their length, especially to – I think they can shut that down. Now, if Pachulia is going to be on the floor and be a step slow, then that's a liability. That's where you plug in some of the other bench guys, especially McGee.
Yeah, I mean, McGee is not exactly, you know, Lightning McQueen out there or whatever you want to say. He's not the fastest guy in the world. And he's not much, I don't necessarily know if he's that much faster than Pachulia. On his athleticism, his length, he might be able to get a few steps on him. But he does give you that athleticism. I mean, he can go ahead and he can swat a couple from behind at least. And so he extra problem for Cleveland, I think, if he does end up playing. And then you have David West, who, I mean, he's got an incredible basketball IQ.
In many ways, David West and Richard Jefferson. I was just going to say Richard Jefferson and David West, they kind of mirror each other in some senses. Obviously, they're two different types of players, but they both bring the age, the experience, the basketball IQ to it that is vital for both these squads.
Yeah, and West, he does have that IQ. You said two different types of players. He's a post player, but he can shoot. He's not going to take anyone off the dribble like RJ. RJ's not going to post up anybody like West can. But yeah, they're very similar players. They use that experience. You can say what you want. So they're kind of recent to their teams. Like, they know the entire game inside and out. Like, they understand the game better than about 90% of players who have left the league understand it. Because you look at it, Richard Jefferson was never really great at the height of his powers. David West was never really great at the height of his powers either, but they've both just played for so long, and they've been able to stay in the game because of what they know. And I think that speaks, you know, you said it, a lot on their basketball IQ. Now, let's look ahead a little bit. Let's look to Game 5. We already talked about it. Durant's going to be there. And, well, I'm not going to say he's better than Durant. I would never say that. Some might say more important than Kevin Durant. Draymond Green is going to be there based upon what happened last season. Let's put it like this. Golden State ends the series if.
Draymond Green keeps his head.
Golden State ends the series if.
I'm talking about Draymond Green. He has to keep his composure. Yes, he's a terrific defender. Yes, he's probably the most complete all-around player on the floor. But he cannot get in his own way. He cannot let Cleveland get in his head. He cannot commit stupid fouls, get stupid technicals, get ejected, unejected, what have you. He has to keep it together. And I also think Steph Curry has to shoot the ball a little bit better. 17 for 40 from three in this series. I got to believe, you know, shooters are going to shoot. He's going to come back around. I expect Curry to have a much better game in Game 5.
For me, the role players need to be more aggressive. Sean Livingston has – I mean, we've talked about Livingston a little bit already, but Sean Livingston has – he's probably got the best post-up game for any point guard in the history of the NBA. He's unstoppable. He's not going to take the hook shots. He always shoots these contested 6 to 8 foot jump shots, though, and they always find the bottom of the net. And so he's got to be more aggressive with that. And there's such a mismatch. Obviously, when Kyrie's in, you can take advantage of that pretty easily. Unless Curry's in on the floor at the same time, which Golden State has done. They've pulled in Curry and let him play the two spot when Thompson's gone out. But he can post up Kyrie. I think Deron Williams presents a little bit more of a challenge, but he plays almost too low at times. I mean, obviously, low man wins, but because he is a little bit stronger, he can push Livingston out. Second, I think Iguodala's got to be aggressive. Iguodala has shot a lot better than people would ever give him credit for in this series. The numbers aren't exactly jaw-dropping, But he's been making the shots when he's had an opportunity, and he's taking shots that I still did not think he could make after all these years. You know, when you talk about RJ, you talk about David West and their knowledge of the game, Iguodala's got it as well as anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But when Golden State sets screens where Iguodala is the ball handler on the wing and he's dribbling to the middle of the basket, they're giving him to the free throw line. They're giving him that
yep.
much room.
Livingston and Iguodala have been quiet. You know, for Livingston to have 28 points, he's averaging about 16 minutes a game. It seems like the Sean Livingston we know from the past was a little bit more impactful than the one we've seen this series. AI has kind of contributed. He's given the moniker of being a stopper, but at the same time, he can get to the rim and finish. Those two, I think you're right in the sense that they need to play their roles and play their roles to the fullest in Game 5 because they haven't shown us in this series their best basketball. We've seen better from them.
Iguodala, definitely one of those guys. I think his defense, he's just a step slower than last year, and that's, I mean, that's all LeBron needs to take over. Or even 2 years ago, he's a step slower. So I think that that's one of the things. But like I said, they're giving him that room. He needs to start knocking down those shots, at least taking the power dribble in and making it a long two. I mean, you can say what you want about it being the most efficient shot in basketball. It works pretty well for guys like DeMar DeRozan, who've made a pretty strong living off of it. I think one of the other things that needs to happen for Golden State, if they want to win, I mean, we already talked about what Cleveland needs to do. You know, they need production from J.R. Smith, and they need points from Kevin Love. And if Love can keep getting those open shots because Cleveland's just spreading them out just a step more, which means Draymond has to help that extra step, then I think Cleveland's in pretty good shape despite the fact they're down 3-1. But I think it falls on the coaching. I think the one place where they have, where Golden State has a clear-cut advantage, it's coaching. The point guard matchup.
Oh, absolutely.
Point guard matchup, pretty close to even. Shooting guard, Klay Thompson's obviously better, but he's guarding Kyrie Irving. He's not stopping him. So I think that you can call that a lot closer than people anticipated. Durant and LeBron, best two players in the world. At least best three, because I like to put Kawhi Leonard in there. Draymond and Kevin Love, two of the top 15 players in the world. And then, whatever, Tristan Thompson, stuff from that Kardashian curse that no one wants to talk about, or Jeff Van Gundy doesn't want to talk about, is Zaza Pachulia being as irrelevant in this series as I am. It comes down to coaching. Steve Kerr is a much better coach. Tyronn Lue, like you said, it's a simple offense. It's a pick and roll. It's motion with everybody else. And it's let two guys go to work. This comes down to Steve Kerr. Can he make those adjustments? Can Mike Brown, because I'm assuming he's the defensive specialist on that team, can he make the adjustments to turn the series around?
On the Cleveland side of
things,
you look down at Golden State bench and you see Steve Kerr, and you know, guys of our age know how Steve Kerr made his living in Chicago, is the knockdown three-point shooter. For Cleveland, they went out and picked up Kyle Korver. In this series, Kyle Korver is 3-for-14 from behind the arc. He's going to need to wake up and start drilling some shots for Cleveland to be able to pull off a win, maybe two, and that hasn't happened. So it'd be interesting to see if he's able to knock down some shots.
30 seconds. Who you got? Game 5.
Game 5, Golden State will close it out at home, win by 6.
Yeah, I've got Golden State by more than that. I think they're going to be quite pissed off, and I think they're going to bring the fire to the Roracle. I think Draymond Green's going to let his emotion get the best of him in a good way. I got Golden State handing the Cavaliers their fourth loss of the series, and it's not going to be pretty either. But that does it. Last Word Podcast is back. For Chris Stanton, I'm Tyler Hayward. Thanks for listening.